In their new book, Trump Revealed, Michael Cranish and Mark Fisher of The Washington Post tell the story of Donald Trump's rise as a businessman, a political candidate, but above all as a brand. Here's one of my favorite sentences from their book. Trump summoned reporters to a press conference at Trump's Bar, located on the ground floor of Trump Tower, close to Trump Grill, just steps away from Trump's ice cream parlor and the Trump Store, which was then pushing a new cologne for men called Donald Trump, the fragrance. As Cranish and Fisher report, the point of the press conference was to announce Trump University. Michael Cranish and Mark Fisher, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And some people psychoanalyze Donald Trump and attribute this self-magnification of the man into a brand as a form of narcissism. I read your book a little differently. You seem to be taking a more strategic view of him than that. He's encouraged an outsized image of himself so that he can profit from just being Donald Trump. Michael Cranish, do I have that right?
Yes. I mean, obviously, the Trump brand is what makes him. He has, from his very early days, been told by his father not to be a nothing, that he has to be something and something big. And Donald Trump has spent so much of his life trying to outdo his father and be his own man. So being Trump on the buildings, Trump in universities, this is all part of who Donald is. He's written about the power of narcissism. There's a book by that title that he cites glowingly. And he says you have to look at the world that way as a business person. You have to put yourself front and center. And that's the way he's operated.
So, Mark Fisher, there is some psychoanalyzing here, but also some strategizing.
Absolutely. This is a man who, from the very beginning, has decided that he would build his business empire around his personality, around his reputation. He worked this from the media from a very early age. He had a mentor, Roy Cohn, the infamous New York lawyer and fixer, who taught him to not only counterattack harder than you were ever attacked, but also to use media to bring publicity, that all publicity is good publicity in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so he created this image of himself as a playboy, which turned out reporting showed was really something that he kind of manipulated and was always working to get the gossip columnists to romantically link him with a particular pretty models and celebrities. And in the end, it turned out that was just for show. When the TV cameras went off, he wanted to go upstairs by himself and watch TV.
One assist he has gotten in creating the image of Donald Trump, the Trump brand, was a credulous press. You cite an early profile of him that had him graduating first in his class from the Wharton School, which just isn't true. And then, of course, estimates of his wealth. How rich is Donald Trump? Which one of you wants to tackle that thorny question?
It is a thorny question, and it's a question that often leads to lawsuits. And Donald Trump, in his dealings with us for this book, was very frank. He was always gracious and generous with his time with us, but he would often slip in casual references to the fact that he might sue us if he didn't like the book, and especially on that topic of how much is he really worth. Donald Trump sued Timothy O'Brien, who wrote a previous biography of him, expressly over that question, because O'Brien came up with a number that was way below what Donald Trump says. He frequently gives wildly different figures for how much he's worth, and he's actually admitted in court documents that he makes up the value of many of his properties. He takes the assessed value, and then he inflates that according to how he feels on a given day. He says, look, I have a sense of how much my name is really worth. My name is the brand. My name is what's on the buildings. My name is what brings customers in. And so he creates a number, and that's why his own estimations of his worth fluctuate wildly.
Yeah, in the lawsuit that you've mentioned, in the appeal, Trump lost that lawsuit, but in the appeal, his lawyers argued that Trump's ability, and now I'm quoting, his ability to close deals and secure financing for his projects depends on investors trusting his reputation and net worth. So therefore, questioning his net worth is defamation. But in effect, he's saying it's very important that people should believe that he's very rich. That's how he gets his deals done.
That's right. And we don't, in the book, try to say we think he's worth X amount. We try to show what's happened over the years when there have been many questions. And the lawsuit you just mentioned is one of the best ways to look at how he values himself. But until he releases his tax returns and other financial records, we can't really say if he's worth the $10 billion that he said he was worth when he announced his presidential campaign in June 2015.
Michael Cranish, you did this project. You wrote the Mitt Romney biography 4 years ago. So you're no stranger to presidential candidates, or Republican presidential candidates, for that matter. How different is Donald Trump from the standard GOP model?
Right. Well, when I was at the Boston Globe, I co-authored biographies of John Kerry and Mitt Romney, and then at the Post, this biography, Trump Revealed. And, you know, in some ways, they're very different characters. They're all tall, of course, but they all have their own contradictions. And when you're writing biography, that's oftentimes what you want to look at. How did they shape their views? Are they consistent? Donald Trump, you know, he's made a practice of pivoting. Last week, he said, I don't want to pivot. I'm just the real me. I don't want to change for the general election. But the reality is that he's changed party registration 7 times, Republican, Democrat, Reform Party, Republican. He's changed positions on things like immigration and abortion and taxes and many other things. So he really has spent a lot of his career pivoting to his success. And so the question now is the man he is the man he's always wanted to be, or is this another pivot for the election?
Donald Trump gets very frustrated by this kind of questioning about, are you being consistent about your position? And so on, and policy matters, and which he's really not that interested in. Well, he's made a career out of being provocative mm-hmm. and out of being a populist and trying to connect with people and being the plain-spoken rich guy. And so he sees himself as just continuing what he's always done. He believes he's been consistent through all these years because he's always reflected the rage and frustrations of the people. And that, to him, is much more important than any kind of ideological purity.
Yeah, I came away from reading your book with the impression that while he may change policy positions very often, or as Michael Cranish, as you point out, party affiliation, he's been going off script since he did The Apprentice. He's been being provocative and seeking publicity and going over the top since he met Roy Cohn. The Donald Trump, the candidate, is Donald Trump. It seems to be the man who made his business that way.
Absolutely. He is very much consistent. He has been, from the very start of his career, someone who wanted to make something big of himself, to be an important figure. And you can go back and see recorded interviews with him from the 1980s in which he talks about building a wall, in which he talks about trade with China, in which he talks about all of the major themes and sound bites that we hear from him these days. So that's not new to Donald Trump. What's new is that he's confronted with this need that he has to reach a much broader audience. He's terrific at reading a room and knowing what people will respond to at a rally. And that was good enough for the primaries. But now in the general election, he's got to reach a lot of different constituencies, some that disagree with him, some that are deeply offended by him. And he's really publicly struggling to find the right mix of outspokenness and conformity.
Mark Fisher, senior editor at The Washington Post, and Michael Cranish, investigative political reporter with the paper, are authors of the new book, Trump Revealed. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.